Oh, it's a New Year. Speaking of New Year, everybody has New Year's resolutions. My grandma whispered in my ear last night right before I came up on stage. She's the sweetest lady you've ever met. She said, Tanner, I have a New Year's resolution. I said, what is it, grandmother? And she goes, my New Year's resolution is I'm no longer going to pray for you anymore. I said, grandma, that's a death sentence. Are you crazy? Anyway, my grandma, she loves me, I hope. I don't know. But anyway, she told me that literally last night. Guys, if I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Tanner Bizet. My dad, Pastor Rick, he loves being able to pastor you guys, to teach here, to lead here week in and week out alongside of Chris and Katarina. And they have been praying for God to do some mighty things this year in 2019. And I just cannot wait to sit back and watch all that God is going to accomplish coming in to this year. I know that it is going to be amazing. Amen. I come from the Conway campus where I get to lead our youth group, Real Life. I heard there's some real lifers in here today. Is there some real lifers over here? That's my people right there. Love you guys. That's my people. And I've realized in ministry that there's two seasons of ministry. There's seasons where God is working on something, and then there's seasons where he is handing over what he has been working on. And I have to say, even though both are really important, the second one is a whole lot of fun. And this past semester, we've kind of seen glimpses of God handing some stuff over to our ministry as I've been able to kind of just sit back and watch God move amongst our students, students sharing testimonies, not just at church, but in their schools, leaders seeing spiritual breakthroughs, callings and purposes being spoken over people's lives. And it's just a blast to be able to watch alongside my partner in crime, my wife, who traveled with me here this morning, Miss Emily. Do you mind waving everybody really quick? I brought a picture of us here today so you can see her closer. This is my beautiful wife. She is perfect. We have been married now 8 months yesterday. We woke up and I said, happy 8 months, honey. She goes, 8 is my favorite number. And I said, well, girl, don't hold your breath because we don't get that again until 8 years. So we got a long way to go. She is so perfect, strutting and stuff. I look awkward. Look at my legs. What am I doing? Looks like I'm about to fall. I don't even know. Okay, you can take that down. I'm starting to get embarrassed. But it's so fun being able to do ministry now with my wife for 8 months. She is a huge asset to real life and to ministry. But, you know, growing up as a BZET, I grew up as a pastor's kid, originally from Louisiana. Please don't hold that against me. I know Louisiana doesn't have the best reputation here in Arkansas. They're kind of like 49th in every single stat book out there. Not 50th, though, not last place. Thank God for Alabama. Can I get an amen? Come on. And tomorrow night, they are going to be second best football team in the nation as well. I'm a Clemson fan tomorrow. I can't wait to see what happens. But hey, we moved to Arkansas. Thankfully, this beautiful state fell in love with it. And now I've been here in Arkansas, New Life Church, for 18 years, which is crazy to think about. And I've seen a lot of new seasons. I've seen a lot of new people coming into New Life Church. I've seen a lot of new lives being changed in the relationship with Christ here at New Life. And now as we enter a new year, I've come across a verse that I want to be able to share with you guys. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And I think this is a really important verse because I believe it's going to give you guys a lot of new hope going into the new year. I believe it's going to give you a lot of new restoration going into the new year. You guys ready for this verse? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, like Pastor Chris was saying, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen here, church. I believe that God is on a mission this year. I believe he's on a mission to give you guys new thinking this year, to give you new relationships this year, new plans this year. I believe God is on a mission to give you a brand new heart this year. And I cannot wait to see God fulfill that. I've been praying this over my family as well. And you see, as we enter this topic of new, there's a lot of different Bible topics, Bible characters, New Testament and Old, that I could have taken. I mean, for example, you look at the New Testament. The disciples, for 3 years, they needed something new because they bought into this old ideology that Jesus was to be some warrior king who was going to overthrow the Roman government and establish a new Jewish government, when actually all he wanted to establish was the new covenant. Look at the Old Testament, the Israelites. For 40 years, they took the same lap over and over again, that old lap, all because they were rejecting God. They could have made it to the promised land in 1 week, the Bible says. Look, God has promises for you this year. I say we get there in 1 week of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow. Look, every single morning at 6 a.m., like Pastor was saying, we're going to have a prayer and worship here. There's a lot of opportunities for you guys to be able to participate this next week. Maybe you and your family are going to eat healthy together. Do a Daniel fast. Watch. I encourage you and I challenge you that if you give the beginning of this year to Jesus, all that he will be able to do with it. So anyway, I decided, though, to choose a Bible character from the Old Testament out of the book of Judges, because I believe we can learn a lot from him, and his name is Samson. And I think we can learn a lot from Samson, really specifically because of his mistakes. How many of you are thankful? There's a lot of people in the Bible who made a lot of mistakes so that we don't have to make those mistakes. Man, I'll tell you what, if there's a book about me, it'd be long. So anyway, there is this guy, Samson, and he makes some mistakes, but we're going to talk about the middle of his life, but not yet, because I want to set this up the right way, and I want to discuss the genesis of his life, the beginning of his life. Because at the very beginning of his life, an angel of the Lord comes to his parents, and you got to get this because this is important. And they say, hey, listen up, your son, he's destined for greatness. He is going to be a leader of the Hebrews, and we have big, big, big plans for him. This is really important because this only happens a few other times in the scriptures. It happens with a guy by the name of Isaac, John the Baptist, Jesus, ever heard of him before? And now it's happening with this man by the name of Samson. And this angel of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord, tells his parents two things. They say there's two regulations that he needs to follow as you're raising him up. Number one, don't let him have any wine. Some of you should have been reminded about that right before New Year's Eve. Number two, they say don't cut his hair. Now, why is that important to God? Because if you drink too much wine, you don't cut your hair, this is what you're going to end up looking like. Check this out. That's your pastor. That is Pastor Chris O, circa 2002. I don't know. I remember that. I remember that guy. That's crazy. Everybody has a testimony, some just crazier than others, all right? That's what happens if you don't do those two things. And the Bible says if he does these two things, he will be destined for greatness. By the way, what are the two things in your life that are keeping you from greatness? What are the two things in your life that maybe for the first time ever you're going to start doing in 2019 instead of letting them get in the way of you and your relationship with Christ? Because Samson's parents raised him this way, the strength of the Lord was upon Samson. And for all my stats people, I brought some Samson facts here with me this morning, some of his accolades that he accomplished while he was on earth, because he was a strong man. One day he was walking down a path and he saw a lion doing some lion things, whatever lions do, purring and roaring and stuff. And this lion crossed him, I guess. So he picked a fight with the lion and destroyed him with his bare hands. Casual, easy. Another day, this guy comes across 1,000 enemy soldiers, takes them all out with a donkey's jawbone. Look, we've all seen superhero movies before where all these heroes destroying all these enemies, but you've never seen a superhero take down 1,000 because that movie would be way too long. And this is in the Bible, so it's got to be true. And this man, Samson, he could have chosen a sword. He could have chosen a hammer like Thor, maybe even a shield. He's like, just give me the donkey's jawbone, bro. I'll take care of business right here, right now. And he does it. It's crazy. This man is a boss. And last but not least, one day he comes across and catches 300 foxes. Some of you guys caught about 300 foxes in college, but that's a whole nother sermon for another day. He catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together, sets them on fire, and lets them loose into his father-in-law's crops to get back at him. Maybe he had a little bit of an anger problem. Some of you are like, man, I'm going to write that idea down. That's a good one right there. I tell you what. Samson, the strength of the Lord was upon him. But look, I don't want to talk about the beginning or the end of his life yet. I want to get right into the action because I'm a big fan of action movies. The other night, I was watching a chick flick with my wife because I love her. And anyway, my dad always says, Tanner, there's two types of movies. He says, there's chick flicks, and then there's good movies. Can I get an amen? So look, we're going to get right into the action here today. If you want to open up your Bibles to Judges chapter 16, turn to your neighbor and say, you ready for the word here this morning? Judges chapter 16, starting at verse 18, says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, here, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hand, and then she lulled him in to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Uh-oh, wasn't he not supposed to do that? Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Now, how does this happen to the great and mighty Samson? I believe it's this, just like any other leader, it's impossible to get anywhere if you do not set goals in your relationship with Christ. Look, Samson, he knew he was called. He knew who he was in Jesus, yet didn't set any goals, and therefore it's really easy for him to fail time and time again and get himself into a little bit of trouble that we see right here. If you're taking notes here today, I want to talk to you guys from the idea of this. You can write this down as the title at the top of your notes. New year, new you. New year, new you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's a new year and it's time for a new you, my friend. Let's pray and invite Jesus into this place here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And God, we just pray that everybody would leave a little bit different than when we came in, that we would be encouraged with the word. And that, God, we would be able to learn a little bit from this story that is written in the book of Judges. God, we love you and we dedicate this year to you. We pray that you would be the center of it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Look, every single year, people start these goals at the beginning of the year called New Year's Resolutions. Good job. That was good. Two of y'all know what it's called. So anyway, New Year's resolutions. And some of the popular ones that I typically see are people wanting to get healthier, people wanting to start exercising. And I think that's great. I really do. I think that's awesome. I love going to the gym. I love to run if I'm playing a sport. But one thing you'll never catch me doing is jogging, because I think it is mindless. I think it is boring and I can't stand it. And one day I'm driving to church at 6 a.m. in the morning, the most cold morning I can remember in Arkansas history. And I see a man jogging alongside of the road. And he's not jogging from his car to his house like he should have been. This man is in a full neon onesie with LED wristbands around his arms, and he is jogging for exercise. And I'm telling you, as I'm driving, I never had more of an urge in my life to be like, oops, but I didn't do it. It was a thought. Don't judge me. You thought it too. I know you have. I don't like jogging. You'll never find me doing it. And one day, though, a friend convinced me to run a half marathon with him. Do not know how, but I said yes, probably because I'm a competitor. So I did what any true man would do, and I showed up the morning of the race without preparing, training, doing anything at all. The only thing I prepared was the biggest playlist of Beyonce you've ever seen in your entire life, because I'm a man, and I was ready to go. And I showed up, but what I didn't realize is I'd be racing with 10,000 other competitors that day. And man, I went from the mindset of I'm going on a leisurely stroll to, oh snap, your boy's got to win the Olympics today. And that gun shot off, and you should have seen how fast I started off that race. That first mile, I wasn't running, I was gliding, you guys. But what I didn't realize is that the more miles I ran, the harder the race would get. And my friend who convinced me to run that race, he kicked my tail that day. And I think that if I would have set goals, had I ran the race the right way, had I trained up, that race would have been a lot prettier for me. The same is true for your new year. If you're taking notes here today, I want to talk to you guys from the idea of five things that you have to remember going into 2019. Five things for you to have to remember in order for it to be a new year and a new you. If you're taking notes, the first point I want you to write down is hold true to the word. Hold true to the word. Look, it doesn't matter where you came from here today. Whether you came from church, you grew up in church, or whether you didn't grow up in church. Whether you came from a broken family or not, whether you had the best 2018 or the worst 2018 of your life, you, just like Samson, are destined for greatness. In the Bible, it says that God, he has plans for you. He has plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, that he is proud of you, that he declares that you are the head and not the tail, that you are perfectly, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Bible says all of these things, and it says that it is written for patience and comfort for you. And that he's given you these things in sign and form of a calling. But here's the thing about a calling is that you have to choose a calling. A calling doesn't just come to you. You have to accept a calling. For the longest time, I remember God was calling me into ministry. And I thought, there is no way, God, you could be calling me to do something like this. Yeah, maybe my dad's a good pastor. Maybe even my older brother is as well. But God, don't you know me? Remember the mistakes that I have made. Remember what the things that I have done. God, you're not smart enough. No way I'm going to be called to something like this. And what God saw as great personally for my life, I saw as fake. And I ran the opposite direction. Samson. Samson is destined for greatness. He's called and he knows he is called. He's on the playground with those other Hebrew boys and they've all had their perfect haircuts and sports clips. He doesn't have his haircut yet. It's flowing in the wind. He's like, hey, I'm destined for greatness. Look at me. God's called me to lead you guys. Look, maybe he wasn't actually that cocky, but the point I'm trying to get across is that whenever you are digging into the word, whenever you are holding on to the word, looking at the timeless truths that it has for you, things about how you are destined for greatness, how you are called, how you are fearfully and wonderfully made, there's a type of confidence that it gives you. So that in your new year, whatever mountain comes your way, whatever valley comes your way, you have the confidence to hold that word and say, I don't care what's in the way. I have the power to get through it. I have the power to get around it. I have the power to go in it. I do not care because God has my back. Hold true to the word this year and watch the confidence that it brings you. Point number two, if you're still taking notes here, and if you follow point number one, it's a whole lot easier to not fall victim to this point. Number two, this year you can't forget, don't be distracted by your weakness. Don't be distracted by your weakness. What's your weakness? We all have a weakness. Think about it. You don't have to say it out loud, but what is your weakness? This past week on Monday, New Year's Eve, my little sister got married to the man of her dreams. And this guy is awesome. The whole family loves him. His name is Kyle. He's one of my best friends. My dad even likes the guy. Now, that's something good right there. But it comes time for the wedding, and my dad has to do something with my little sister called a first look. And what that means is for the first time, he has to see Grace in her wedding dress right before he walks her down the aisle. Here's the problem. My dad's biggest weakness right beside Reese's peanut butter cups are his daughters, okay? You should have seen him the day my sister Haley got married. He was a wreck, y'all. His eyeballs look like Niagara Falls. And this man, we still make fun of him to this day. And all of a sudden now it comes time for the first look with my little sister Grace. And he's standing out looking at this field. They have them all set up. He's not allowed to look back yet. And he hears the door creak open and he hears her walking in her heels towards him. And he's probably trying to recite verses, anything he can to keep his mind off of it. And as she walks towards him, he feels a tap on the shoulder and turns around and thinks, oh, Lord, here it is. I just can't be distracted. God, please help me right now. I need you. I need you. I need you. And she says, Dad, I love you and I'm thankful for you. And I wrote you a letter. And he's like, oh, no, Lord God, this is the moment. I knew it was coming. I can't do it. And she goes, but I forgot it at home. And he's like, oh, Jehovah Jireh, there is a God. Lord Almighty, you are good. And she goes back to him, but I memorized it word for word. He's like, oh, no. He's trying to think of anything he can to keep his mind off topic. Close games, LSU lost, miracle on Markham, Texas A&M game this past year, prisoners of war, anything he can to keep his mind off of this. He was distracted by his weakness and trying not to be. What's your weakness? Samson had a weakness. Right now in history, during Samson's time, God, he's raising up these leaders called judges to free their people from the Philistines, the enemy. Samson, the reason he can't cut his hair or drink wine is because God wants him to be a deliverer of his people. Look, I'm a strong believer that right now in this room, there are some elite leaders that God wants to raise up to deliver the hopeless, to deliver the broken, to deliver the weak, the lost from their schools, from your workplaces, from your families, from your homes. But here's the thing, God is going to ask you to make some sacrifices along the way if he's going to use you. The question is, are you going to be willing to make those sacrifices and say no to some certain weaknesses of our world? Samson's job was to be a deliverer. And Samson knows this, but look, one day he's walking by the enemy, one day he's walking by the Philistines, and he sees a daughter of the Philistines. He sees this Philistinian woman, and he does something called a double take. He's walking, he sees the girl, he keeps walking, he's like, hold up, she was kind of cute, what's up? And he looks at her, and he's like, I choose you right there. And I want y'all to watch what happens in the scripture. Judges chapter 14, starting at verse 1, says, now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people? Like, is there no one at our church that you have to go somewhere else? That you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Don't be distracted by your weakness. Samson, he was strong towards God, but he was weak towards women. This year in 2019, you have to remind yourself, do not put yourself in a place, in a position of personal weakness and expect the presence of God to show up time and time again. All that is doing is saying, hey, look, I've messed up, God, where are you? Can you come back and help me again? What is that going to do if you keep doing that to yourself time and time again? Although this is me and my story time and time again as well. Something I've dealt with my whole life and something I still have to have pastors and friends call me and check in on me with the same thing today has been and still is a little bit today, approval and acceptance from others. It might not seem like a big deal, but it is. Growing up in high school, it got to the point, got so bad where sometimes I would see myself doing stuff to make myself look cooler, even for strangers who I didn't even know, just to win over their acceptance. And all that did for me was make me fight for their acceptance. But why fight for others' acceptance if God already fought for you by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross? And that's the thing that I had to realize through the years. What's your weakness? Because the enemy, he wants to use it against you. He wants to attack you with it. And this is exactly what happens to Samson, because he sees this woman in Timnah. He marries her. They have a wedding. They have a reception. They do the cha-cha slide. They go on a honeymoon to the Bahamas. It's like the perfect American wedding, and the rest is history. And now all of a sudden, Samson, he is married to a Philistine woman. He's sleeping with the enemy. Remember, he's supposed to deliver his people from these guys. And now all of a sudden, he's friends with these people. So much so that one day, he's hanging out with his new Philistine friends, and he's like, yo, I got a riddle. If you can guess my riddle, I'll owe you big time. If you can't guess it, you'll owe me big time. They can't guess the riddle, and his wife is like, hey, but you'll tell me the answer, right? Because we're husband and wife. He's like, of course I will. So he tells her the answer. Immediately she goes back to her true loyalty, gives them the answer, and Samson is heartbroken. Samson is in shambles, but didn't you see it coming? We've all been let down before. I bet you've been let down in 2018, and guess what? You'll probably be let down in 2019. But going into 2019, you have to remind yourself, point number three, don't let pain destroy your faith. Don't let pain destroy your faith. My dad told me one time, and I hear him say from the pulpit from time to time, that people, they can keep their faith through all different sorts of trials. Rejection, divorce, a loss in the family. But the number one thing that kills faith faster than anything is pain. And there's people in this room who have been abused verbally, maybe physically, emotionally, spiritually, or maybe even sexually, and that is real pain. And you know the pain that you are carrying. But here's the thing that I have to tell you here today is that there was a man named Jesus who actually went through all of that stuff as well. On the day of his crucifixion, he was verbally abused, people shouting at him, mocking at him. Spiritually abused as he was falsely accused by the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was emotionally abused, verbally, physically, and he was even sexually abused, the Bible goes as far to say, as he was up on a cross, naked, and people were pointing at him, laughing at him. Now, why did Jesus choose to go through all of that? He chose that so that he could take all that pain away from you. But here's the thing, you have to choose to give it to him. And if you don't give him your pain, it'll cause you to make the same mistake time and time again, going through the same troubles time and time again. That's why he wants you to have it. Look, that pain that doesn't get healed in you, that's the pain that could kill you. That's why you have to give it to God. And this is exactly what happens to Samson. He gets blinded by his pain. And if we follow along with the story in Judges chapter 14, later in that passage, in that scripture, in this chapter, it says, stalking out, smoking with anger, he went home to his father's house, and Samson's bride became the wife, the best man at his wedding. Wait, that seems wrong. Like, was there no guy code during this time era? Like, bro, what are you doing? The one thing you're not supposed to do is marry your best friend's wife. Like, are you serious? I'm sorry, but if my best friend guesses my riddle and tries to marry my wife, I'm going to fillet the dude. He's not going to see it 2019. There's not going to be a new year or a new him. None of them. But then I realize as I dig more into this scripture, as I dig more into the word, that whenever you start to do things the enemy's way, things will begin to get contorted. Drama will infiltrate your life, and what used to be wrong will now be right. What used to be right will now be wrong. And the enemy loves to do this over and over and over again. This story of Samson paints such a solid picture of our life, because so many times as Christians, we get comfortable being Christians, that we believe we can mess around with the weaknesses of our world and everything will be okay, but that's just not true. Because again, back to my story, growing up, I had a relationship with Jesus. I knew exactly where God was in my life, but I kept him secure in that little treasure box. And then I had boundaries of what I knew was wrong, yet every single day I would cross those boundaries just to see how far I could go, knowing I had a safety net to fall back into every single day. Until all that did was cause me to make mistakes, cause me to make to have weaknesses in my life, cause me to be blinded by my pain and make the same mistake over and over and over again. Remember approval, remember acceptance, over and over and over again. And all people will do is let me down, and I felt like I had to make myself be better again, more perfect again. This is exactly what happens with Samson. Don't let pain destroy your faith. Because Samson at this point, he's hurt. He's blinded by pain. He's going through a lot of stuff, and he makes the same mistake again. This time he marries another Philistine woman by the name of Delilah, and she has a weakness. Her name literally means weakness. But she doesn't have a weakness for Hebrew boys with big biceps and long hair. She has a weakness for money. And the Philistines, they know this. So they go to her and they say, hey, listen up. If you can figure out Samson's secret, why he's so strong, why he keeps defeating 1,000 Philistine soldiers, we'll give you a free shopping spree to TJ Maxx. She's like, deal. I'll do anything for a shopping spree. Puts her lip gloss on, throws it over her shoulder. She's like, I'm gonna get this done. She goes to Samson's house, gets him, pulls him away. They get married, and she begins to ask him, come on, Samson, what's your secret? Come on, Samson, what's your secret? What is it? Please tell me what it is. What's your weakness? What is it? What is it? It's amazing how the enemy doesn't just show up once a week. He shows up every single day. We always have to be on guard, holding on to this word that I was talking about earlier. But remember, Samson, he is blinded by his pain. So he eventually tells her, look, it's my hair. I've never cut it before. If I did, I wouldn't be strong. And she's like, boom, looks like somebody got a shopping spree. She lulls him into this deep sleep. She calls in the Philistines. They cut off the 7 locks of his hair. And the story is about to get kind of rough for Samson. Because he awakes up and she begins to torment him, saying, Samson, the enemy, they're upon you, Samson. He's bald, has no more hair anymore. And what does he say? He says, I will go out as before, at other times, and shake myself free. So many times we make mistakes. We think, it's okay, I'll just shrug it off. I'll just shake it off. I'll wipe it off. I'll be more perfect next time. I got this on my own. That never works out when we say, I got this. I think it's time in 2019 where we start saying, God got this. He says, I got this. In my translation, he's saying, it's okay, girl. I got this. I always get away with this sin. Why? Because some people think that they can play with matches all day and never get burned, but it only takes one match to start a wildfire of failures and mistakes in your life. Samson, he's blinded by this pain. And I believe there's people in here who have been blinded by pain as well. Some of you guys have gotten away with a sin or a secret before. Therefore, you keep doing it over and over again because you think you can get away with it. Listen, the quickest route to destroying your 2019 is continue that. God is asking you, look, don't let your mistakes and your weaknesses and your pain get in the way of where I want you to go in 2019. And I wish Samson could have gotten this. I wish I could have shaken Samson's head and been like, Samson, look, you got to understand that you're just blinded by your pain right now, because sadly, the story only gets worse for the poor guy. The Philistines come in, and in the Bible, it says that Samson did not know the Lord had departed from him this time. I'm a believer that God, he won't just pack up and leave you, but you can sure pack up and leave him. In high school, I did it every single day. I packed up, had God in my room, maybe said a prayer to him, and didn't think about him again for the rest of the day. God, I got this. If I make a mistake, I'll shrug it off. I don't need you right now. And all of a sudden, the enemy, they come in, and you can't make this part up. This is too good to be true. Because first they bind him, and then they blind him. Why? Because the enemy knows that if he can bind you to one thing, he can blind you to everything. If he can bind you just to one thing, he can blind you to the rest. And that's exactly where he wants you to be. Man, anybody encouraged yet in this place today? Like, wow, Tanner, this is really awesome. Don't live with regret, though. Anybody ever regretted something before? Raise your hand if you've ever regretted something. It's like any time I ever go to Taco Bell. Like, no one's ever gone to Taco Bell and been like, man, thank God for that decision. My stomach feels amazing. No, I want to go into, like, a coma for 4 months every time I go to Taco Bell. Taco 12-pack. Look, I almost regret going there as much as this girl in 2018 regretted trying wasabi for the first time. You got to check out this video.
Want to try wasabi?
No.
You want to try it?
No.
Okay.
Wasabi.
Do you want to try it? Smell it. Smell it first.
That's cruel. Oh my God, like what else are you gonna say? This burning sensation in my mouth, please. Give me some milk, anything. That poor girl. Oh my God. Samson, he is living with regret. Write this down, the fourth thing you have to remember going into 2019 is don't live with regret. Don't live with regret. Samson, he's pacing his jail cell back and forth, talking to himself crazy, like, how could I have done this? I made the same mistake over and over again. What am I even doing with my life? And the Philistines, they were so mean. They would pull him out in parties, and as he was blinded and as he was binded, to make him perform and dance, saying, look, remember, this is the enemy who was supposed to defeat us. This is the guy who was supposed to defeat us. Look at him now. It's crazy. The enemy will always try to put you on display whenever you've messed up. And the enemy, it's almost like in this story, they forget about Samson. Like, oh yeah, we got him taken care of. He's in his prison cell here. But it's crazy, though, how God can use the most unlikely heroes to still do something for his kingdom. And the Bible says that while Samson is in his prison cell, his hair begins to grow back. And he realizes to himself that as long as I still have breath in my lungs, I still have a shot with God. Why? Because we don't just serve the God of second chances, but of third, fourth, fifth, infinite amount of chances. So I want you to write this down. The last thing you have to remember in 2019 is you have to remember redemption. I love this shift in the story here today because I believe there's some people in here today. You've been distracted by weakness. You've been blinded by pain. You're living with regret. And it's time for something new. But here's the thing about redemption. You can't just stumble upon redemption. You can't just wake up one morning and say, oh my gosh, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Now you have to choose redemption. And in the final moments of his life, Samson pleads with God and chooses redemption one final time. And the Bible says that in the final moments of his life, he does more for the kingdom than his whole life combined. Why? Because he allowed God to redeem him and he allowed God to be at the center of his decision making. Samson chose redemption one final time. Only difference between me and you and Samson is that we don't have to wait for the end of our life to be redeemed. In fact, we can't wait any longer because in order for you to have a great 2019, you have to let God redeem 2018. You have to give him your weaknesses, your pain, your regret of 2018 in order to move forward. And here's the thing is that God, he wants to take it from you. He chooses you right now as you are. Why? Because he already chose you at your ugliest upon the cross. 2,000 years ago, if you'd have been the only person alive, he'd have done the same exact thing just for you. You have to choose redemption. He'll take you as you are. The worst mistake you can make is say, man, I was so far away from God in 2018. I better clean up in 2019 so I can follow him again in 2020. No, he is saying, look, choose me right now so that we can fix the rest right now here together. That's all he wants. My dad has a great story of redemption. You know, whenever he was 12 years old, his parents went through a pretty rough divorce, and it hurt him. And so one day, he was finally redeemed of that pain as he gave it all to Jesus. And now it's like my dad, marriages are so important to him because God has used that redemption to be able to help him help others. And now my mom and my dad are able to help so many marriages here at this church. And it's so awesome to be able to watch that. It's crazy how God, he loves stories of redemption. It's almost like the people who have been redeemed are the most impactful for the kingdom. Some people this year, God is going to redeem your marriages. He's going to redeem your kids. He's going to redeem your family. The most important thing you can do in 2019 first is have you and your relationship with God redeemed. He wants it. He needs you. As a pastor, it doesn't shock me anymore when people blow it. You know what shocks me even less? When God gives them another shot, when God gives them another chance, a chance to turn their pain into redemption. Would you bow your heads with me all across this place? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and pray that you'd be here in these next few moments. Guys, I believe that there are some people in here, like I was saying earlier, you've been going through that rut, you've been going through that same pain, and you've been blinded by it, weaknesses, you've been living with regret, and you're ready right now for something new. Like I said, the most important thing you can do before anything else in 2019 is restore your relationship with Christ. Redeem your relationship with God. So I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. This is a private decision. It says in the Bible that when you make this decision, it is private. Eventually, yeah, you'll need to go public with that decision. But right now, it's between you and God. No one's looking around in here. I'm looking. No one else is. If that's you in this place, you say, yes, Tanner, I just need my relationship with God redeemed. Would you just raise up your hand so I can see you all across this place? Come on. Yeah, don't be afraid. Look, this is awesome. This is the best decision you can make right here. The amount of joy, peace that will come into your heart as soon as you make this decision. Thank you, guys. Any more hands? Anybody else? One more chance. Amen. You can put your hands down. I'm going to say a prayer. And if you're in this place and if you agree with this prayer, I just ask that you repeat it just loudly enough to where you can hear your own voice. Come on, say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, say, Dear Heavenly Father. I love you. And God, I'm sorry. Because I know that in 2019 or 2018, I made some mistakes. I was blinded by my pain. God, I've been living with some regret. But Lord, right now, I'm ready for our relationship to be redeemed. God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your son, Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart right here, right now. I'm doing a complete 180 and I'm running towards you, God. Lord, redeem my relationship with you. God, redeem my relationship with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, church, let's stand up all across this place as we go back into a time of worship. And I ask you guys during these next few moments just to thank God for how he is a redeemer and how he always gives us another shot and how he loves us. Let's say the Lord, amen.